Let's pray. God, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the one that we want to follow. And you said your Holy Spirit is the one that has the power to change us. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit to speak today and that you would overshadow Justin and I and Debbie. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is Justin Williams. A lot of you guys know him, apparently. So, and Justin, one of the things Justin does is he helps out with our youth group. And Patrick, our youth pastor, led a team of folks to youth camp this last week. Justin was one of the adult leaders there. So how did all that go?
It was really good. I just wanted to say thanks to everybody that came to the spaghetti dinner, that gave money, gave prayers, gave time to send them. We had 11 kids, which, you know, obviously we want more to go, but 11 was the right amount that God sent. And every one of our kids was touched in somewhere or another. Either they got saved, they rededicated their life, or they were just moved to do something else. Yeah, yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. But I would just ask that you continue praying for them, because we all know we can go and get refreshed and get fired up about Jesus and then come back to our real life. And you know, the enemy wants to attack us in that. So just keep praying that they'll stick to the commitments they made at camp.
Yeah, awesome. Keep praying for our youth. And we're going to talk about some more stories of what happened at youth camp this week. I did first want to talk about the series we're in right now, Training versus Trying. And last week we had Matt Andrews up here lifting like 340 pounds or something crazy. This week, Debbie, wherever you're at, Debbie Anderson is going to come up. And big round of applause for Debbie. And Debbie is going to lift 350. No, I'm just joking. So part of what we're doing at these intros is showing off things that Jake can't do at all, including lifting weights, and then crocheting today is what we're going to talk about. So Debbie's got some awesome stuff that she's crocheted. Tell us about the scarf first.
The scarf is called entrelac. It's a French word, so I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. But it's just a really intricate pattern that is knitted no way like it looks. So I thought that would be an interesting challenge.
Yeah, and then we've got kind of the same pattern type right on the hat as well. So very, very pretty, though. And so, Debbie, you're really good at crocheting, obviously, at this point. But tell us, how did that get started for you?
When I was a child, my grandmother and mother taught me how to embroider. But that wasn't quite what I wanted to do. I wanted to learn to knit and crochet. So every friend that I had that had a grandmother that knew how, I would ask them, please teach me. They couldn't slow it down enough for me to learn as a child. So I thought, well, I can teach myself. So I got a pattern, and I taught myself how to read it. But I still didn't know how to do it. So at 18, that's 45 years ago, I met a friend, Pat, and her mother had showed her how to crochet a granny square. But that's all she could crochet, because she couldn't read a pattern. So I would read the pattern to her after I taught myself that, and then she would show me how to do it. So we helped each other that way.
So you worked together and kind of figured it out together.
Yeah.
Awesome. So tell me about the role that crocheting has had in your life since you've learned.
I just love being creative. I think that's a gift that God gave me, and I wanted to use it for Him. So for me, it's very relaxing. I also use my brain, because this pattern was very hard and difficult. But being able to give gifts, I think that is so important. And I printed up a little card that I give with every gift that I give away, and it says a prayer in every stitch. Because I want people to know when they receive a gift that I've prayed over them, and that I want them to know that that's an important part of life, is praying over people. Also, I've been able to teach several people how to knit or crochet, and those are just lifelong blessings, because you get to share part of your life with somebody.
Yeah, well, and we didn't talk about this, so this is on the fly, but my guess would be that you're a very good teacher, because it was difficult to learn.
Sure.
I mean, did that kind of help you teach other people maybe better than their grandmas of the past?
Right.
Yeah.
And I made it a goal that I wanted to be able to slow it down enough so that somebody else could learn.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for sharing. Very, very cool. So have any of you guys ever wanted to do something so bad that you're willing to go and ask a whole bunch of people a different age than you? And then when they couldn't teach you, you were willing to go and learn how to do it, how to kind of read almost a language. She was showing me stuff. It was a bunch of, like, P4 and then, like, words. I didn't understand how they fit together at all. I mean, they were English, but they don't normally go together. So I couldn't read any of it. I mean, it's like a code. She was learning to willing to do that and then still not get it and then find a friend and teach each other how to do it. I mean, that's a lot of desire, but now she's got this gift she can share with others. Well, today we're talking about something that I think is similar to crocheting in that it's really hard to learn how to do. Most people don't know how to do it. People who don't know how to do it sometimes try to watch someone else, and then they're like, I don't get it. Some people just try to learn how to do it in a book, and then, unlike Debbie, they think like, well, okay, I've got enough. So you might be like, what is Jake talking about? So it's very foundational to Christianity. It's this idea of reading the Bible in such a way that you do something about it, that it changes you. Whether you read it or you hear it, you don't have to necessarily be literate to be following Jesus, but that you're responding to the Bible and actually doing something about it. So there's a lot of people that say, well, I show up to church a lot, or I read the Bible a lot. There's actually, unfortunately, not a huge number of people that can really answer really well, like, well, what did you do about what you read in the Bible this week? I ask my small group that every week, or now Thomas is asking our small group that, and it's still hard, even though we know the question's coming. Like, what did you do about what you read? Because it's very easy to live the sort of life where you don't do anything because you read it in the Bible. We're going to read a passage out of Matthew chapter 7. And this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is how Jesus sums up his biggest teaching. He says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. A wise man who built his house on the rock. That's what we're going to be talking about the rest of this time. So Jesus says, if you hear and you put into practice, you're like that. And what happens to that guy? It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Now, the interesting thing about God with us is God always gives us choices. Sometimes there's only two, but he never only... There's always at least two with God. Here's option number two that God allows. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. So this isn't like you're in the grocery store aisle with peanut butter. There's not 47 options. It's you can hear what I say and do it, or you can hear what I say and don't do it. There's a big rock that's hard to build your life on, and there's a bunch of sand, and you got those options. So what happens to the guy that chooses sand? It says, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Doesn't sound like a good way to go through life. So Justin, talk to us a little bit about building in sand. We've got, you know, you've got to be careful what pictures get dug up when you come up on stage. But
so this is, we went on a camp out last weekend, me and my wife and my in-laws and five nieces and nephews, and I was excited to get out there and build sandcastle with them, and they lost interest pretty quickly, but me being me, I just, you know, I just work a lot, and that's just who I am, and so I'm just working away.
So to interrupt a little bit, at the guy's camp out, Justin got into a dig-off with somebody because they found two shovels, and he just likes digging holes. So that's the type of guy Justin is, like, let's dig a hole for fun.
I just got to going at this, you know, and I was excited about it, and it's something I hadn't done in a long time. And you know, I kind of, Jake had already talked to me about this scripture, and I kind of was able to relate it to this. I mean, with my construction background, I know if I'm building something on sand, it's not going to stand up. And so we built and built and built, and then you know, at the end of the day, we're talking about it, and the kids are like, "Well, what are you going to do with it now?" And because they wanted tear it down, of course, because that's the fun thing to do when you build sandcastle. And you know, I was hesitant. I was like, I spent all this time building it, but I said, okay, let's go ahead. We smash it, you know, with our feet and stuff. And regardless if we just smashed it or not, the rain would have came, just like the scripture says, and washed it away. And so that's just the basics of what happens when you build on the sand.
So tell me about how does that relate to us here at Maywood today, though?
I thought about that, and I thought about how, man, when we get sober and we get some Jesus in our life, like, we just go to town. We grab things and we use things, and we're getting after it, you know. And a lot of times we don't think about, wait, what are we building on here? What are we using to build on? Or are we just doing things because we're sober and we got some new things in our life, or are we really building on a solid rock?
So it's easy to listen to Justin, and the words just kind of like, oh yeah, that's good. But think about that. The stuff that you spent your time on this week, was it just because that was the closest thing on hand, and you're so busy with it that you never thought about, like, what impact it's going to have? Because if you think back to 2 years ago, you were probably busy 2 years ago. Well, anything you were busy with 2 years ago that's still important today? I mean, there are potentially some things. Maybe you're hanging out with your kids or something, but there's a lot of stuff. You know, maybe you're trying to get tickets to the Royals game or something. I don't know what you're doing, you know, but a lot of it doesn't last. Okay, so how do we find a rock? You know? Justin's there, you know, he can find a rock to work on. Justin, talk to us a little bit about good foundation versus bad foundation. What do you see in these pictures?
Okay, so that rock, for one thing, was at the college campus. We got to go to camp with the kids, and it was in the middle of the, and I said, let's take a picture, you know, solid rock. But so these pictures, I kind of picked these out. The first one on the top looks like somebody who might build their house on the sand. They just get a bunch of stuff together, and they start building it, and it kind of looks like that. It's kind of a mess, and it, you know, that's not really well put together. And then I see the second one there, and it does. It looks like it's in good shape, and like I said in first service, they don't really do cinder block foundations like this anymore. They do most of them out of concrete, but from my experience, that looks like a well-built foundation. Like the windows are nice and square, the walls are all square with each other. It looks like they put quite a bit of steel in the frames and rebar sticking out, so.
Awesome. Well, hopefully the question you're asking yourself right now is, which one am I of those two? So let's use the test that Jesus used. Jesus said, how do we know the two apart? He said, when a storm comes, what's left? So this is Texas somewhere. I can't remember where in Texas. Back in 2008, Hurricane Ike. This little peninsula. This is a real photo. This is not Photoshopped. I did some research because I thought that looks fake. But it's not fake. So churches, convenience stores, and every other house, like, gone. Everything on that peninsula gone because there was a 16-foot wave that came through with Hurricane Ike. Except for this one house. And to see it up a little closer, apparently, like, their carpet was ruined and some of their appliances were ruined just because there was that much water. But that was really it. And you're like, what? So reporters and everyone was showing up asking, like, who lives there and who built that house? Because if you'd went to there a week before the hurricane, you would have said, like, I didn't even notice the house. You go there the week after the hurricane, and every reporter and everyone else is like, what is going on with that house? Because it's the only one that lasted. So what did they do to make it last? It wasn't a freak act of luck. That family had been through a hurricane before they moved to Texas. And so when they built their house, they, I'm sure, spent quite a bit extra, I would guess. But they got some contractors, and they said, we're going to watch every stage of construction. We want you to build it this way. I'm sure it was a fun house to build on when you've got the couple there looking over your shoulder. And they dug. It's actually, most of what they did that's fancy is below the grade. They've got this crazy kind of pier system. Honestly, I didn't understand it when I read skimmed the article on it, you know, but they have some sort of crazy pier system that allowed it to survive the hurricane, and they designed all the pieces of the house to survive a hurricane. And how do you know that they did it well? It survived a hurricane. I mean, like, so obviously they did it right. Here's the thing, though. We all would like to say, like, oh, yeah, I want to be like that house. All of us say that. All of us say, like, I want to have the type of marriage that survives some crazy financial crisis, or that survives some kid that's really hard on the parents. Or I want to be the type of person that even when my neighborhood is going downhill, like, we help the neighborhood instead of just running away from it. Or I want to be the type of person at work who, when things get bad, I'm in there in the middle surviving the storm, helping out. Most people thought, I want my house to survive a hurricane, and I bet before the hurricane came, they put shutters up or whatever, you know, but they didn't actually build a hurricane-proof house. So today, it's training, not trying. We're not trying to survive a storm. We're talking about, how do you actually do it? So we're going to give you some real tips on, like, how do I actually do it? If you're a note taker, it's just three notes you have to write. So if you're not a note taker, maybe you could inspire to be one today. So it's three things we're going to talk about. Two of them are going to be with the youth. They were at camp this week. So first one is, if you're here today and you're like, I don't even know how to get started, being the type of person that builds their life on Jesus, that builds their life in response to what Jesus says, tell us about what John Hammond did at camp this week and kind of how he took a very initial but a very big step with Jesus.
Yeah, so John, there he is. Great young man. I got to hug on him and love on him this week, but He said, like, I want to live my life for Jesus this week. So there's one area the camp was effective. God just really worked on their hearts. But John, he said that. And that night, I wanted to make it clear, like, you understand what salvation is and you know what this walk means. And I just wanted to give him a simple little thing to use to strengthen his relationship with Jesus. And that was just to read his word, and I encouraged him to get into one of the gospels. And the next morning he came to me at breakfast and several times throughout the week and said, man, I've been reading in Matthew, and it talked about how Joseph was going to divorce his wife because she was pregnant and he didn't understand it. And an angel of the Lord came to him and told him, you know, don't divorce your wife and name the baby Jesus. And so, like, I really knew that this was effective in his life. He was really reading the word, and like a couple days down the road, I made it to Matthew 12 today, like, and he was explaining things that he was reading, and I was like, man, he's getting it, he's got it, like, and I just kept, you know, encouraging him, keep that up, man, because it's not easy, you know what I mean, and we fall away from that. So that's one way we can do this.
So think about that. John said, I need Jesus in my life, and so he went and talked to Justin about it, and he got that square of, like, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to follow you. How do I do it? And how do you do it? Well, Justin said, start reading here. Start reading in Matthew. That's a great place to read. But then it wasn't just like, and have a good life, John. You know, like, kick him out. It was, come talk to me about it. So they started eating breakfast together. They started eating meals together and talking about it. So if you're here today and you're like, I don't know, I've been building on the sand my whole life, and I want to get started, what do you do? We find somebody like Justin, that's maybe a little further ahead of you, and you say, hey, I'm going to start reading Matthew. Would you talk to me about it? That's all you have to do to get started. That's how you start building that foundation, okay? So you just find somebody, and you say, let's start talking about what I'm reading. And meet with them regularly. They were getting breakfast, or you know, they were meeting, talking quite a bit. Don't meet once a month. Meet multiple times a week, you know, to talk it over. So that was John. Now, I know you work with the youth a lot. I heard a couple months ago you were bribing the youth with, like, king-size candy bars to memorize a verse. If they memorize the verse, you give them a candy bar. One of them, though, a verse from a couple months ago, really hit home with Abby this week at camp. So tell me a little bit about that. This is Abby.
I just want to say real quick before we jump into that, while I was sitting on the bed with John talking to him about salvation, Chris Santos was sitting on the bed across from us. And he was listening, and he heard what I was saying to John. And he said, man, I want some of that. Like, I'm rededicating my life today, right now. And I said, all right, let's pray together right now. Like, and that's a big deal for him. Like, I'm super excited and proud of him.
Chris is right over there. Yeah.
So this is Abby, and she memorized John 3:30, which says he must become greater and I must become less. And I started with the simple one for them because I know how hard it is. And she just said to us, we have a church group time in the evening after they've done all their activities. We come back together as our church group. And she said one night that, you know, God was speaking to her, and she heard that scripture in her mind, and she said, oh, man, this is my opportunity that he must become greater and I must become less in my life. So this picture is actually after camp. We were headed home. We stopped at McDonald's to get some lunch. And Abby felt a call to talk to this lady. She got up from our table and went and talked to the lady, and come to find out, this lady's family was kicked out of the church years and years ago, and she you know, was pretty bitter from that. And you could tell there was some heartfelt conversation going on between them. But Abby talked to her about salvation and then talked to her about, like, encouraged her and prayed for her, and then came and sat back down at our table and ate lunch with us, and then got up and went back and found that lady again and stood there for, like, a good 15 minutes talking to her and encouraging her and loving on her. And so much that we were all done eating and waiting on her to finish her conversation. And that's something they taught them and us as adults, is to make conversation with people, you know, and not just vomit Jesus on them, but talk to them about what's really going on in your life, what's happening with you, what happened in your past that you're bitter with Jesus. But so I'm really proud of Abby for the quiet young lady she is to come out in public in front of a whole group of people and say, like, hey, I need to pray for you. I can see you're having a rough day. That was, you know, rewarding for all of us.
That's so cool. So, I mean, if you guys caught that, Abby memorized a verse a couple of months ago. And so that tool was there for God to work in her heart. She gave that tool to God by that training, and it became the cry of her heart at camp. If she hadn't memorized the verse, I don't know what the cry of her heart would have been at camp, but it wouldn't have been that verse. And then because she's saying, I want more of that, I want that verse to be true in my life, then it's changing her actions as she leaves camp. She's doing stuff that she would never do otherwise, that a lot of adults would be afraid to do. So this idea of memorization, it can be scary for people, it can be intimidating for people. Justin, I know it used to be more intimidating for you probably than it is currently, but I know you set a goal at the beginning of this year, you're going to memorize a verse every month and keep it memorized, and it's the sixth month of the year, so I'm going to put you on the spot. Tell us your six verses.
He told me to stand up so to make sure that you guys didn't think I was looking at
notes. There's notes down here, but they're not the verses. So I told him, like, stand up, get away from the paper, let them know this is legit, you know. Like.
So, yeah, well, I've got six of them right now. Joshua 1:8 says, to keep this book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night so that you'll be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Luke 5:16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. 1 Peter 5:5 says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And the last one for this month, John 4:34, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me.
There's a little bit on that last verse, man. There's a little bit on that last verse.
My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
Boom, there it is. Yeah. So, Justin, how did you do that, man?
So, for me, I got to repeat things over and over. And like a lot of us, we've messed our heads up quite a bit over the years. And like, I never thought I would be able to do something like that. When Jake talked to me about memorizing these verses, I'm like, yeah, right. Like, I might get a couple of them. But so my strategy is just to get a sheet of paper out and write it down over and over and over. Just like when we're in elementary school and they say, I will not talk back to the teacher. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing. They want us to memorize it. So I write it down over and over and over again. And then like through my daily life on the way to work or sitting around at home or just whatever I'm doing, like I run through those. And they're a lot easier to do when I'm sitting at home than it was here today in front of you guys. But so write them all down a bunch of times and then go over them, you know, a couple times a week.
So, I mean, you see what Justin did, and a lot of you probably think the same way Justin did 6 months ago, of like, I can't do something like that. But is there a better use for a sheet of paper in your whole house than doing what Justin's talking about? And saying, Justin says, if I write it 5 or 6 times, it's in there. And then if I just repeat it, in January, all he was repeating was one verse. If I just repeat that verse back to myself a few times a week, and then in February, he's just repeating it back to himself a few times a week, but it was 2 verses. Now he's at 6, and now it's downhill. I mean, I think he's got confidence now the rest of the year. He's not as intimidated about the rest of the year coming up, you know? And when we think about, am I trying to be a good Christian? Or am I trying to survive this hurricane with some little shutters on my windows? Or am I training, preparing to be who God wants me to be? Because Justin's going to be a different person at the end of this calendar year than he was last year just from that alone. You can't memorize 12 verses and be trying to do them and not have that change you. So it's change in Justin. So we talked about so far 2 things, if you're keeping track here, of this idea you got to accept Jesus, start reading the Bible, talk to somebody about it. Second thing is, what if you started memorizing stuff? What if you memorize just one verse a month, so you plant it there? And then like Abby did, it's ready for God to put on your heart. It's ready to change you. So rubber really hits the road in this third step, and we're just jumping into kind of Justin's life a little bit. So I asked Justin this big question of, Justin, tell me a story about a time when you put the Bible into practice. So I want you to just kind of respond to that. You were talking specifically about Ephesians chapter 5 and how husbands and wives should treat each other, how you're trying to apply that. So tell me about that.
It says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So that's what I try to do in my life with my wife, because I love her and I want to obey the scripture. So yesterday we were taking a break from being at youth camp all week with the kids and just hanging out at the house and doing some yard work and stuff. And we went in for lunch, and she was making us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And if you see how the bread is sliced like this, and if one of them gets switched around the wrong way, it makes the sandwich a little funny. So she had put the jelly on the wrong side of one slice and said, oh, I did. And I said, well, I'll take that one, you know, because that's how I, you know, give myself up for her. I want to take the least of the, you know, the messed up peanut butter and jelly sandwich. So, but there's lots of examples like that. I heard one a while back. It was an older couple, and the guy at dinner time every night, he would give his wife the heel, you know, butter it and give it to her. And finally, she just got fed up, and she said, why do you always give me the heel? He's like, that's my favorite part. Like, I was giving it to you because, like, you know, so, like, it's, I think of that a lot. Like, I need to give myself up for her. And then yesterday I mentioned we were working out in the yard. Well, we had a really good time, and there's an area in our yard. It's got stone wall built around it, and we've been really concentrating on that area, and it's exciting for us to see one part of it complete. And she's planted some butterfly bushes in there, and I had a project that I was going to work on. I told her, you know, in the beginning of the day, like, I'm going to get all the limbs all chipped up and out of the way and get all this rock moved. We've got a bunch of areas where somebody put hundreds and hundreds of pounds of rocks all. And so I've been working for weeks trying to get those out. And I was trying to finish those up yesterday. Well, instead of getting those finished, I was able to, we went and picked up some mulch compost stuff yesterday to put on her flower beds. And instead of doing all those things that I wanted to do, like, I was able to take some time and give her buckets full of mulch so she could spread them out around her flowers and stuff. And we were just working in that little area of our yard, and we really love it, you know, and it's exciting. And I heard my wife say, oh, welcome. a butterfly had flown in and was just hanging around there, and like that was the point of reward for me. Like the sticks and the rocks and all that stuff didn't matter. If I could give that up to help my wife, to hear her say something like that, that's where it's at. That's where my heart was happy.
Again, there's a ton of stuff that Justin just said. We're going to hit a few of the pieces. The biggest thing that was inspiring to me yesterday when I asked this question, you might have passed over it. When I asked him, hey, tell me a story about a time when you've put the Bible into practice, I was expecting what honestly I would probably hear most people answer that is, oh, 10 years ago, there was this big thing that happened, or 2 years ago, there's this big thing that happened. Justin rattled off a whole bunch more stories than we have time for, actually. A whole bunch of stuff. And the only thing that was really true about all of them was they all had happened about the last 24 hours or so. He told me all sorts of stories. Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. Think about that in your own life. Could you rattle off stories about how you say, oh, I was doing this and this and this and this because of what I'd read in the Bible? Like, you might laugh at, like, the jelly story with bread. I'm like, that's not that big of a deal or whatever. But think if you were living that sort of life, where even the small things in your life, you were saying, like, I'm going to do that the way God's Word says to do that. A lot of us see tragedies, and a lot of marriages in America look a lot more like kind of the landscape there, where, like, things fall apart. And how on earth do marriages survive, like, in America? And, like, a lot of them don't survive. And you think, like, oh, I want to have a house like that. I want our marriage to be the one that makes it when other marriages don't. And you look at the way that Justin is living his life, trying to obey God's Word, and you start to see, like, he's taking all these little steps right now. And think about how firm Amy and Justin's foundation is going to be when they treat each other that way. That there may be a hurricane that hits their marriage at some point. Like, hurricanes happen in people's lives, whether you want them to or not. But they're preparing right now with butterfly bushes and jelly sandwiches and all these silly things. But, like, they're preparing for, like, those giant storms. Because you can't just throw up shutters when something crazy happens and think, like, we're going to make it okay. And the story about, like, the sandwich or the story about the bush might not sound like a big deal, but ask yourself, like, when was the last time you had a plan for what you wanted to do, and you said, like, well, the Bible says I should have a different priority, so I'm going to change my plan for how I'm going to spend my day. Because that's what Justin did. Justin had something he wanted to do, and then he thought about how God wants him to be a certain type of husband, and he said, nope, I'm going to make this other thing a priority. Today's sermon isn't particularly about, like, how to be a good husband. I mean, we see a good example right there, but it is about, like, being that type of person that you say, like, I see God's Word, whether I'm single, whether whatever's going on in my life, I read God's Word and I put it into practice. And not just once every 10 years, but every day, there's lots of ways to put it into practice. And so today, I want us to think about those three ways that we can train. Because if you want this sort of house, it doesn't just come by hoping for it. It comes because you work towards it. And again, it's not work towards it because we're so great. Justin's not so great. Like, Jesus saved Justin. If you talk to Justin Moore, Jesus changed so much in his life to bring him to where he is today. But if we're also honest, like, I've seen Jesus do miraculous things in lots of people's lives. And not everybody treats their wife that way. Not everybody memorizes scripture, you know? Like, there's a peace on our side of the table. Like, God says, like, I'm going to do some stuff for you, but you got to choose if you're going to obey me or not. So if you want to have this house that weathers a storm, Jesus made it real clear. You got to build on the rock. You got to do the things I say to do, okay? So here's our three things. You read the Bible, and you talk to somebody about it. Wednesday night is kind of a way to just do that real easy. If you're actually reading your Bible on your own, you come to Wednesday. But maybe you find somebody like Justin, you start eating breakfast with them. And you do it that way. You can pick your own way. Jennifer was talking to me about on Saturday, she gets together with a couple other ladies, and they're talking about good things, important things together, you know? It doesn't have to be official on Wednesday night, but you need that in your life. Next thing is, you can memorize something. Maybe you don't believe that about yourself, but that is true. Like, you can memorize a verse.
You can do it.
Yeah. The final thing is the rubber is going to hit the road. You're going to have that trance where it's like, I want to do all this thing with the rocks and blah, 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 blah. Oh, but there's that verse that's different. And you have to make that choice. Are you going to be obedient or not? So at the end of every service here recently, we've been praying a blessing. We've been saying, let's ask God to help us because we need his help. So here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you guys a heads up on it before I pray. I'm going to pray for God to help you to memorize. And you might be like, dang it, Jake, that was the one I was planning on skipping. Like, that was the one I don't really want to do, that one. Pray for me a blessing about something else. Here's the thing. If you follow the example Justice set for us today with memorization, it will change you. Just like if you went home and started, you know, doing bench presses three times a week, like, you'd get stronger than I am, you know, like, for no matter who you are, probably. You know, like, you would change. If you do that, you'll change. So that's why I want to pray that blessing over you. And right now you can say, like, I don't even care about it because I've already given up. Or you can say, like, you know what? I never thought I could do it, but let's see how this works, you know? Let's try it. So let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you love us, that you save us. You're the one who pulls us up out of the muck and the mire. Jesus, I pray that you'd bless us as we try to train for you. Bless each one of us to be able to memorize a verse this week. Give us the mental strength to do that. God, we're going to supply the determination. I pray that you would supply the mental strength. And God, I pray when we memorize something, you give us an open door to put it into practice. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.